It is such a joy and a pleasure to be able to stand before you and preach the Word of God, but I would also say that if you hear me say anything that is not according to truth, according to righteousness, that you would be my best friend if you tell me and help me along that path of truth and righteousness. We just sang a song. Brother Matt led that wonderfully. Do all in His name. Do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. And that's what we're all about as Christians. We think this, you know, five years ago or so, I saw a television commercial about an upcoming so-called Christian movie. And a man stood in front of a desk where a woman was seated, and he asked the question about the practice of Christmas. He says that, is there anything in the Bible about the practice of Christmas? The woman said, who was the reverend in the commercial, she said, do you think that God's Word is the end of His teaching? And, you know, when I heard that in that commercial, it excited me, and I kept thinking to myself, boy, oh boy, oh boy, would I wish that she had asked me that question. Of course, the misleading part of that scenario is that they're saying God's Word is not the end of His teaching, that His teaching continues on throughout the history of man, and that, my friends, is not so. God's Word is the final authority on all things, and we'll study that a bit today. God's Word has been delivered to us once for all, as Jude verse 3 tells us. And so we need to battle to keep this Word pure and to keep it undefiled. I instantly thought of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where Peter says, by His divine authority, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We all know what the word all means, don't we? God gave us all things that pertain unto life and godly here in this word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 6, the Apostle Paul instructs us that we may not think beyond what is written. We don't want to go beyond what God has given us, that word that was once for all delivered to the saints. In Galatians chapter 1 and at verse 8, Paul the Apostle says that if we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven were to preach any other gospel than that which we preached to you at first, that's what this is, let him be accursed. And then he repeated himself. And again I say, if we or any other preach any other gospel than that which we delivered to you at first, let him be accursed. And Paul said, for do we speak to please men or God? He said, if I yet to speak to please men, I'm no longer a servant of God. So we hold to the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 30 and at verse 6, we're instructed, do not add to the words of God, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. And so the message today is really a result of those thoughts. It's a message that I've preached before, about every other year, and it's the first thing that we need to concern ourselves with. Anything that we do in the church, any practice that we make a part of the church, we always need to question what we do and why. And we need to seek and find the right authority for that. We need to be like the Bereans, right? In Acts chapter 17, at verse 11, we need to search the Scriptures daily to see if whatever it is we're questioning or whatever we propose to do, whatever we want to practice, we need to search the Scriptures and find out whether those things are authored or have authority through God, through His Word. And the subject today, of course, is the issue of holy days or holidays. This happens to be a day, of course, where many people in the religious world are celebrating a special day to them called Easter. And so what we want to do today is we just simply want to take our Bibles and we want to go ahead and thumb through the Bible here. And we want to just do that and research what the Bible has to say. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look for this and see if we have authority for that. Well, I guess that ends today's lesson. We can all go home, and Lord willing, you all be here tonight for the next lesson. And I hope you understand I'm being facetious. But I hope you get the point. You can thumb through your Bible all day long, all night long, and you'll never find authority to practice other days as holy days. And so I want you to understand that. Yes, there is one day a year, 2 days a year, special days a year that all the denominations around the world celebrate and make special in the church. But do they have authority for that? You know, this day that they call Easter actually started last Sunday. Last Sunday, we omitted it. There was a thing called Palm Sunday. We omitted that. Maundy Thursday, we omitted that. Good Friday, we omitted that too. Just like we omit the practice of Easter. And the fact is that we omit all 36 of the so-called Christian holidays. You see those up here on the board. And believe me, that's really not all there is, but these are the ones that have been officially set up. And you look at all of those things and you wonder, you know, one of those is All Hallows Eve. That's a Christian observance, and yet that All Hallows Eve comes from a pagan holiday called All Hallows Eve. It comes from a Celtic festival. Why is that part of the church? Well, I propose it's not. And there's another special day up there that I took note of just as I was looking at this list, because this day takes place on August 1st. That's my birthday. No hints, just that's my birthday. But I don't know what that has to do with me, the powerful Sabbat. It has to do with Wiccan festivals and magic and love magic, sex magic, agricultural magic, building up power through magic and so on. Why is that word even part of a church? You think about these things. That's a pagan holiday. It's a Wiccan Sabbat that happens every year. And the fact is, I never met a Christian who celebrated these. Never met one. But churches around the world, they do. And so, you know what? The bottom line is, there's nothing in the Bible about other days. We'll discuss that. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us that other than this day now, you celebrate this, that, or the other thing. And so it's important. We need to remember that the Word of God is the authority. It's the only authority we have. It was given to us by God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. By Him were all things made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That Word was Jesus, who came down from heaven, became flesh, and dwelt among us. He's the one that has all authority and power. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He's the one that we're supposed to listen to. He's the one we're supposed to hear. Paul said, and if you're filling out the are you listening forms, Paul said, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You see, we need to read the Scriptures as a church, and we need to stand upon the Word of God, upon the truth of God. And if it's not in there, we don't do it. And so, there's no practice in the Lord's church that isn't authorized. Because if there is, then it's not the Lord's church. And if we want to be pleasing to God, we need to know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, as God's children in His house, the pillar and the ground. And that's exactly what the problem is. You know, trying to discuss the things of the Bible with people who don't really accept the Bible as the Word of God, they don't believe that the Word of God and the church is the pillar and the ground of truth, final authority, is like talking to a brick wall. It's like talking to a brick wall. That, you know, that person will listen and listen and listen. They'll grin a little bit here and there. And so we need to remember that's the truth. In Matthew chapter 10 at verse 14, Jesus instructed the 12 disciples that as they go out in the world, if people aren't listening to what you have to say, if they refuse the truth, He says that you depart from that house or that city and you shake the dust off your feet and you just move on. Some hearts are really hardened in this world. We're told in Luke chapter 8 that they're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of a life, verse 14. And so some hearts just, they're not able to hear the Word of God. They're not able to accept the simplicity of the commandments. And so we need to remember that. We need to be the person that plants the seed. When somebody doesn't really want to hear it, you plant the seed, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and at verse 6. You plant that seed, the Word of God. You speak to them the Word of God. And then you move on. And maybe somebody else will come along and water that seed. Maybe it'll grow, maybe it won't. But we know that God's the one that brings forth the increase. And so it's a daunting challenge to get somebody to listen that isn't willing to accept God's Word as the authority in all things to the church, to our lives. And so, in spite of all those things, the truth is that there's only one day of the week to worship God in spirit and truth as an assembly, as the church. It's called the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It's this day. And the great news is it comes around 52 times a year. On every first day of the week, this is what the church does. We observe the Lord's Supper. You were here, you saw that. We give of our means. You were here, you saw that. We offer prayers. You heard those. And we give glory to God through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you heard that. And we teach or preach. And Lord willing, you're hearing that. But what we teach and preach is simply the truth from God's Word. And as I said in the beginning, if I'm not preaching the truth, you need to help me, show me, teach me. And so we keep this thought in mind. This is really important. When it comes to proclaiming the gospel of Christ, when it comes to teaching the Word of God, there aren't enough minutes in the day. There aren't enough hours in the week. There are not enough days in the month, and there aren't enough months in the years, and there's not enough years in your life to waste even one second when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who was murdered on that cross. He is the one whose blood was shed for us, and He is the one who was in that grave 3 days, and He is the one who was raised up from that grave, and He now sits in heaven at the right hand of God. And we're all waiting for that day when He returns. We serve a living, risen Savior. Make no mistake. But these are the things that we've been instructed to do. And even to insinuate in some fashion or another that somehow my way matters. Somehow your way matters. Instead of it must be God's way is foolish. The Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. And we understand that all authority, as I mentioned, belongs to Jesus. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said it Himself, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And in the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 35, when Peter, James, and John were up on that mountain, they were up on that mountain, and God's voice came down from heaven. He came down in a cloud, and they fell on their faces, and God said, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. And that's what we do. We don't listen to the world out there. We don't make innovations. We don't try new things. We just simply do what God commanded, because then we know we're going to be well-pleasing in His sight. The churches in Galatia, there were many churches there. And those saints, they came out of a pagan world where many of those things, those 36 things, majority of those, if you do a little study, came from paganism. And in Galatians chapter 4 and at verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, but now after you have known God, and rather are known by God, how is it that you return again to the weakly, beggarly elements which you desire again to be in bondage? Those are the practices of paganism. You observe days and months and seasons and years. Can you let that run around in your mind? He's actually accusing them. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid of you, he says, lest I have labored for you in vain. Just a little investigation and you'll realize that those 36 things, the majority of them came out of either paganism or out of a perverted church leadership. And so, the fact is, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your thoughts my thoughts. Your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we need to trust God. He's omnipotent. Right? He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And He's omnipresent. He's here always among us. God is so powerful and wonderful, and He is perfect. He has no beginning and no end. He was, He is, and He always shall be. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. This is who we serve. This is who we obey. And so if the day, no matter what that day is, comes to question, is it in the Scriptures? Can we impose that in our worship? Can we kind of change things around, switch things around, change the way that the church was established and built and paid for by the blood of Christ, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28? Can we do that? And the bottom line is no. Whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3:17, by the way, is where that comes from. And so the safest way to do anything in the church is simply to ask the questions, as Paul mentions in Romans 4 and 3, what saith the Scriptures? We search the Scriptures like those Bereans. And in this case, we ask the Scriptures about, you know, holy days and holidays. Is there really a difference? And so, you know, we need to understand that I don't see any Scripture where God forbids you from practicing a holiday. As long as it doesn't cross any borders or lines of your faith, as long as they're not contrary to God's Word, feel free. Feel free. You know, build up the Christmas tree, hide the Easter eggs, whatever it is, feel free. But there's a big difference between us practicing national or seasonal holidays and crossing them over into the church. Okay? As long as the practice doesn't imply that it's from God. So we don't say, you know, Easter is about the resurrection. Easter is about hunting Easter eggs and having fun with your family. It didn't come from the Scripture. We don't say Jesus is the reason for the season because it didn't come from the Scripture. As God's children, we praise Him in all things. And so it is not all right to add to the church that He died for, the church that He established and paid for with His blood, with things such as those 36 special holidays, observing weeks and days and months and moons and stars and so on. So let's not fall into that to say or imply that Jesus is a part of some man-made holiday. It would be sin. And we need to keep that in the forefront. You know, for the Jews, they had the Sabbath. We've studied that. Brother Randy's done a fantastic job going through the Leviticus, and we're in Deuteronomy now. And so we've talked about the three feasts, the Passover feast, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. We've covered those. And for the Jews, when we think about this, what's special is the same thing applied to them as does apply to us today. We're studying in Deuteronomy. It's a wonderful study on Sunday morning. You should be here. Randy's leading a great study in Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 16, 17, 15, 16, and 17 now. And listen, everywhere you look, it's important to do what God commanded. The things that are holy days for the Jews were always ordered by God. It wasn't something made up. And then when they did make it up or change it, it didn't please God. Because it's all patterned by God. And it's all to be observed exactly as God commanded. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments which I command you of the Lord your God, which I command you. That's the theme. And that's never changed. Now, for the New Testament church, as we begin to investigate this, you know, first of all, we need to understand that when Jesus died on that cross, He went up to that cross in order to fulfill the law, the old law. In fact, we're told that He nailed that law to the cross. Colossians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, verses 14 through 17. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, that was contrary to us, That's the old law. He's taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. In the following verse 16, he says that you know, we no longer judge, but no people no longer judge you in food or drink or regarding festivals, moons, or Sabbaths. They're a shadow of the things to come, but the substances of Christ. You see, we're told that Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry. He's the mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 6. And at 10, established under better promises. He took away the first to establish the second. That's the church that we are in now. That's the age, the last days that the Scriptures talk about. We're no longer under the old law. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he established the idea of the law of Christ. He used it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. He used it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 21. Under the law of Christ, there is only one special day. One very special day. One marvelous and fantastic and amazing special day. You know, the day that Christ arose was the first day of the week. The day His church was established, the day of Pentecost, first day of the week. The day Christians meet for worship, first day of the week. The Lord's Supper that we practice today, first day of the week. Giving, teaching, singing, praying, first day of the week. All those things were done on the first day of the week. Holidays were appointed by man, but you know, they're not part of the church. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, you read verse 29 through 32, and we're warned to take heed that we're not ensnared to follow them, the world, something other than God. Do not inquire after their gods, verse 30 says. We need to take heed. We need to remember that. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us to come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. In other words, different. The Lord's people are different. They're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Right? We're being built up into a spiritual house. We have a home awaiting in heaven, reserved for us by the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet nearly every church, as you think of this, the commandments, almost every church today practices all kinds of special days as holy days. And so they fit exactly into this form of don't. Did you hear it? What he said? Take heed that you're not ensnared and follow them. Come out from among them. And, you know, these are things that were mostly brought out of the Roman Catholic Church. It's called the days of obligation, the feasts that honor mostly Mary first, the dead saints second, and Jesus actually third. You know, to quote this, the Encyclopedia Britannica, when Constantine became the protector of the church, Catholic, that means the universal church, many of the pagan festivals were taken over and changed to Christian feasts. That's a fact. So that's why we don't make a practice of it. That's why we take heed and we're not ensnared. That's why we come out from among them and we act different, because the church is different from all the others in the world. There are so many denominations out there that do this very thing. In March 21 of 20, you know, it's interesting that we think of all these holidays and special days that are set up by the churches out there. And one of them is the Christian Passover Seder meal. Which, if you understand that statement, that would be an abomination to God. And the fact that the world got upset, the Christian world, many of them, because people were making the challah bread in the shape of a Christian cross, which would be offensive to Jews. So people are intermingling things, and they kind of accept anything that feels good, whatever makes me happy, whatever I feel is right, whatever you feel is right. And yet we need to pay attention, because that's the exact problem. We need to do only what God says is right. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul, you know, he says there's no compromise. He talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition. You don't compromise with error. We need to depart from, not depart from the faith, because that's an indication of people who do depart from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. So, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, it warns us that Christians, you know, we stay away from practicing and observing days, months, times, seasons, years. We stay away from returning to those beggarly elements, as Paul mentioned in Galatians chapter 4. And yet most still continue to labor in vain. They teach such things as though they were true, but God authorized none of them. So what did God authorize? We talked about that. Only what's in the Word of God. And the only day that the church is authorized to make a practice in the church is the first day of the week. When we've received God's authorization, His Word of truth, then practicing unauthorized days, we understand that dishonors God. It jeopardizes our own souls. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I say?" We mentioned Galatians chapter 1, where the Paul, you know, "I marvel that you turned away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel." Even back then, people were changing, perverting the gospel of Christ. And that's when he said, "If I preach to you anything different than, or even an angel, anything different than what you received at first, then let them be accursed." Anybody. And so, we want to remember that. Our reaction when anybody tries to change what God has put into motion, what He has commanded, trying to make innovations or additions or subtractions, is not a good thing. And what should we do when that happens? What we do is we cry out. We cry out. In fact, we cry out like Jeroboam. When he tried to ordain a feast that wasn't authorized by God. And when we think of what really took place there, it was something, it was a great offense to the Lord. And we need to cry out like the man of God who stood at the altar with Jeroboam and cried out to Him because of the error and the wickedness of his way. Secondly, we avoid compromise. Avoid addition and subtraction. God teaches us not to be unequally yoked, right? We're everything that we do, anything that's unclean, anything that's unauthorized, we stay away from. Like Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, when John heard a voice from heaven, and he says, "Come out away from her, my people. Stay away from the unclean thing." And he said that if you don't, you receive the plagues that are written in the book. Why is it important? I don't want to receive the plagues that are written in the book. And I have to add here that as hard as it may be not to compromise, we need to be careful that we don't compromise our own children. And what happens is we tend to overlook things like Christmas pageants and shows and things that will teach our children something different than what we're teaching them out of the book. We don't want to confuse our children. The third thing is acknowledge God's authority that He has over His church. Remember the authority that God has. You remember the words of King Darius, if you want to read Daniel chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. When he saw Daniel coming out of that den of lions alive, he proclaimed that all men must tremble and fear before God. The God of Daniel. The God of creation. Because He's a living God. Steadfast forever. The king said. I think that's really good advice. We need to be like Joash in 2 Kings chapter 23. When he stood by that pillar of the Lord and he commanded that the testimonies and the statutes be all remembered and followed to the very heart and soul. So we need to be following God's commandments with our very heart, down to the very soul. And we can thank God again for all the blessings. We thank God for all the things that we have been allowed to do to worship Him in spirit and truth. And so that's something we value and cherish. Something the Holy Spirit teaches us to do. We want to remember to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. And so, that's what we want to do. And, you know, if we're in a church which observes holy days that are not part of God's church, His house, His pillar and ground, then we need to be thinking about where we are worshiping. If I can't take what's being done in that church and find it in here, then I should be getting out of there. Perverting the gospel never honors God. Adding to holy days, you know, that may make us feel good, it's exciting, and yet it dishonors Him. Observing His Word, that's what brings Him honor and glory. We leave sin and error, accepting the Word of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That's what we need to do. You know, there's one spiritual thing that we don't want to overlook, and that is the resurrection of Christ. That is the fact that He died. Before the resurrection, He had to die. He died for our sins upon that cross. His side was pierced and the blood and the water came out. And that blood is what can save us and give us an entrance into heaven. When Jesus told us the things we must do to be saved, we want to remember that. John chapter 6, verse 45, He said you had to hear and be taught. John chapter 8, verse 24, He tells us that we must believe that He is the Christ. In Luke 13 and 3, He tells us to repent or perish. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, He tells us that we must confess Him before men, and He will confess us before the Father. And in Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus says, believe and be baptized to be saved. If you've not been baptized into Christ, that's the first most important step after hearing the Word of God, the gospel being preached. And if you are a Christian and you have error in your life, we know that it's important now that you repent to be restored back in that faithful relationship with the Father in heaven. If you have a need this day, whatever it is, to study, to learn, to be baptized, or to repent, please make that happen now before it's everlasting too late as you come forward as we stand and sing the song number 493.